So for those of you that don't know me, my name is James, and I am 28 years old. See, I'm introducing myself first this time. Getting good. And I am married to Genevieve in the corner there. We've got a little son. He's 9 months old. And I'm from a little place called Richards Bay in KZN. So I was born in Richards Bay. My brother Judge here was also born in Richards Bay. Both born in the Bay Hospital. Yes, we legends, bro. And so I was born there in Richards Bay. I was raised there. I was also reborn in Richards Bay. I had a radical encounter with Jesus 1 year. I think it was in 2017. And he completely transformed my life. He took my life out of a place of drugs and being fully in the world, being addicted to many, many different things and delivering me from those addictions and actually bringing me into the kingdom and giving me a purpose. And here I am, and I'm so grateful that I gave my life to Jesus. And this morning, I want to share a message with everybody that I hold really close to my heart. And it's something that God spoke to me about as soon as I gave my life to Jesus. And I know, as I say this, I know I'm probably going to be tested in this in the coming weeks. But God showed me, as soon as I got saved, there was much that he had to change in my life. There was a lot that he had to change in my life. And he doesn't just show me. Who has been shown that by God? There's much that needs to change in your life. Right. And luckily, he doesn't do it all at once. Thank you, Jesus. He doesn't do it all at once. He does it step by step because I would have passed out if he did it straight away. But early on, I came to know not just Jesus as a person, and it was a journey to get to know him, but I came to know that there's power in his resurrection. That there's power. This word has been coming through this morning. There's power in the resurrection of Jesus. And the power doesn't just stay here. The power is in the change that comes into your life. The resurrection of Jesus has power to transform us from the inside out. And I really came to know that early. And this was only a few years ago. But God showed me that I had to change a lot of my life. And so the title, which my lovely wife helped me finally decide on, I changed it like 50 times yesterday, is this. Because the title matters. It really matters. It shows us what we're going to be speaking about. What was the last thing God asked you to do? And so actually, just before we start, can we all just close our eyes for a second? Just to take our attention off of each other. Everybody close our eyes. And I want to ask you, what was the last thing God asked you to do? It's a serious question. What was the last thing God asked you to do? And I'd like to just start off by reading about Jesus. In Isaiah 42, verse 6, it says this: I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. This is about Jesus. I will take a hold of your hand. I will keep you, and I will make you to be a covenant for the people, and a light for the Gentiles, to open the eyes of the blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. And like I said, God released me from the dungeon of darkness when I came to him, and many of us have experienced that, which is beautiful. But this morning, a lot of words came about us seeing God. And it's quite interesting because I'm literally going to share with you guys two stories about people that were blind, and then Jesus healed them, and they were set free. And this is where I say that there's power in the resurrection of God. And I believe this is a biblical truth that many people often miss, is that we come and we experience Jesus. We experience his grace. Who's experienced God's grace before? Who's experienced his love before? Who's experienced his joy before? We experience all these beautiful things, right? But the biblical truth is that it doesn't finish there. Yes, that is for you. That is for you, but it's not for you. It's actually for others. If you deposit joy in your heart, it's so that in the week you've got joy to give to everybody else that you encounter. So there's this truth that I feel the Lord wants to touch on with us as a church, is that when he speaks, it's not just for us now today to experience his joy and to be, oh, that was great. I feel released, like relieved and released from stuff. I'm now going to just go through the week. No, there's a truth that God is going to call us to change after today. And so there's a lot of emphasis, not just on what God's going to do today, but what he's going to do in and through us in the week. And the past 2 weeks, who can remember what has been shared? What has been the topic? Ask one of the youthies. Choppy. Prayer, yes. And so there's a sense that God has been speaking to us about prayer. He's been drilling that into us, prayer and fasting, how important it is, right? And how many people have been getting woken up in the night or in the morning to pray? Remember, there were quite a few that put your hands up last week. It's a beautiful thing. Don't stop. Don't stop. And so God is doing something in us. He is doing something in us. But when God is going to call us to pray, he's going to call us to pray. But prayer is not just asking him for things or giving him our anxieties and all that stuff. Prayer is when he's going to speak to us. Okay, so God is going to be speaking to us. And that is where this opportunity arises for change, an opportunity to respond to the living God. And I once heard a preach from Dan Barnard. He leads the Sunningdale congregation. And he just said, everything we do, every single thing, not one thing left out, must always be a response to Jesus Christ. It must always, always be in response to what he's done for us. And I would like to look at a part in John 9. This is now about 700 years later, after Isaiah prophesied that Jesus would come, be a covenant for the people, come set the blind to see, let the deaf hear, and let people free from the prisons. And so in John 9, Jesus is walking through the streets of Jerusalem. And I'm just going to read the scripture. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And so first of all, we see that Jesus, his disciples asked him, who sinned? Because in the Jewish culture, they believed if something was wrong with you, if you were sick, that it was related to sin. But Jesus actually shows us that it's not. But the main thing here is that in verse 3, neither man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happens that the works of God might be displayed in him. And so I wanted to ask, who in this place is perfect besides my wife? His wife. Johan's wife. All the wives. Okay. All the husbands just say yes. So that means that God wants to use every single person in this hall. Because our imperfections is where God can show the works of God in our lives. Okay, and then we read on. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Just like Isaiah prophesied, Jesus will come and be a light to the world. That is who Jesus is to us. After saying this, he spat on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Has anyone here done that before? I've actually heard of a few testimonies where people have done that. Pretty wild. He made mud on the floor with the saliva and put the mud on the blind man's eyes. Jesus, what on earth were you thinking? Why would you do that? In fact, it's quite an outrageous thing, right? I'm sure his disciples were like, what the heck, bro? So he puts the mud on his eyes, and then he says to the man, go, wash in the pool of Siloam. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. How incredible is that? Now the question is, why didn't Jesus just heal him on the spot? Why didn't Jesus just, because he can do that. Why did Jesus not just touch his eyes and this man could see? It's because Jesus wanted to show us this biblical truth that grace is not effective without faith. Grace is not effective without our action and showing God that we have faith in him. So Jesus, he had this encounter with Jesus just like we do on a Sunday. Who's encountered Jesus on a Sunday? We all have. So we've encountered Jesus on a Sunday, but what happens after the Sunday? What happens when we go into the week? Do we show Jesus our faith? Because we experience his grace today, what about tomorrow? Do we show him our faith? So this man went and washed in the pool of Siloam. So I did some research. It's quite cool. And I researched that at the time, there was a festival happening in Jerusalem. And the streets were very narrow, the streets were incredibly bumpy, and it was packed with people. And this, where Jesus prayed for this man, was right outside a temple, or right outside the temple, where a lot of beggars would sit and beg, because obviously godly men and women would come out and give them their money. And so Jesus prayed for this man at the temple. The pool was about half a kilometer away, 500, 600 meters away from where they were, still windy and a lot of elevation, a lot of bumps, and thousands and thousands and thousands of people were there. So for a blind man who's probably very weak in himself because he's a beggar, he doesn't eat much, and he's sitting on the side of the road, he had to go all the way to that pool and wash this mud off of his eyes. And guess what? He did it. He did it. So he went and he came home seeing. And so the grace is ineffective without faith. So God looks at us, he sees our weaknesses, and he pushes us through that weakness into freedom. And so I want to encourage us, if you don't feel perfect, God's going to use you. If you've got weaknesses, it means that God wants to show his works through your life. And so here's a question that I have for all of us. God has worked in our lives many, many times. On a Sunday, even through the week, maybe on a Wednesday, maybe at youth on a Friday night. And he's done a work in our life, and he's done something for us. But then how many of us are trying to walk this Christian faith out with mud on our eyes? How many of us have encountered Jesus, and we've had this encounter with him, and he's put some mud on our eyes? Like, thank you so much, Lord. I feel so much better with this mud on my eyes. I'm going to go about my life, and I'm going to carry on. How many of us try and do that? And when I first heard that, I was wrecked to the heart. Like, how many times did I just come so I can get my fix from Jesus and from his people and then go home? But this is what the Lord wants to do in us as a praying people, that as he speaks to us and as we encounter his grace, that we take that and that we move forward as a people. And I've got this picture of us as a bride, and we are called the bride of Christ. Everyone say, the bride of Christ. Remember, it's an interactive church, eh? I'm going to be like Ashley Gabriel. The bride of Christ. One person. You'd have to copy me now. We are one person. And I have this picture that, yes, on a Sunday we come together and we sing to God, which is a beautiful thing, and we get wild for God and we experience him. But in the week, they say the greatest form of worship is obedience to God. And I've got this picture of us as a bride in the week, in our workplaces, at home, in the restaurants, on the beachfronts. I've got this picture of this bride, us as a bride, singing praises to God. And it's not a singing like we sing here. It's the obedience. It's like a song to Jesus. And I see God doing that in us. And I see him, now that we're going to this place of prayer, we're going to be hearing his voice and receiving from him. But I see us as a bride, as one person, singing to God out of obedience. There's a second man I want to look at in the Bible. We're going to go to Acts 9. It says here in Acts 9, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to skip past the first part. But Saul was a man that hated Christians. He hated Jesus, and he wanted to kill Christians. He wanted to send them to jail, and he said that Christianity, following Jesus, is a cult and that it's not real, and that his Jewish ways, his religious ways, are the way to God. And Jesus meets this man with a flash of, like, probably lightning and thunder, and suddenly Saul at the time was just rattled by this. This is a man that was literally persecuting Jesus and his disciples radically. And the Bible actually says that he was there when Stephen, one of the first deacons, was stoned to death. They stoned him to death. And Paul, it says, young Saul was there, and he approved. He approved of that. So this is the man we're talking about. He has an encounter with Jesus, and Jesus says, why are you persecuting me? And he meets Jesus after Jesus' resurrection. And it goes on to say here that Jesus told him to go into Damascus and go wait for a man there. And so this is the man I want to focus on. Is Ananias. So Jesus speaks to Ananias in verse 19. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. Ananias, yes, Lord, he answered. And I want to touch on that. How many of us on a Sunday or at a quiet time where community the Lord speaks to you and you're like, yes, Lord, that's me. I want you. How many of us are that? It's a lot of us, eh? Many of us want God, not too many. So he speaks to Ananias, "Yes, Lord, that's me. God's speaking to me." The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying." I think Saul was praying very, very hard, because what happened after Saul encountered Jesus is he couldn't see. He was blinded by the light when he encountered Jesus, a supernatural encounter with God. He couldn't see. He didn't eat or drink for 3 days. That's how rattled this man was. Okay, he was rattled. While this is happening, while all that rattling is happening in Saul's life, the Lord speaks to Ananias. And he says, he was praying in a vision in verse 12. He has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Now Ananias is like saying, "No, Lord, that's not me." Because the Lord called him. He's like, "Yes." And as soon as he hears, he needs to go pray for this guy. He's like, "No, Lord." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with an authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call upon your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and to their kings for my people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." How's this? Ananias probably just wrestling in his heart. Can you guys imagine, just in the time, it was so scary that if you're a follower of Jesus, you hid. Like, this is nothing like it was back then. You would hide away. People were getting stoned to death. And there's something about that picture. Can you imagine, like, Jake, you're a good example. Jake is going to come stand here. This is a man that loves Jesus. Can you imagine that we stand around Jake and we stone him until he dies? Okay, let's use someone that somebody, you know. Shame, Jake. Can you fix your collar for you, bro? Every morning I fix this guy's collar. Okay, so let's not steal away from the picture here. Call it. So rocks around us, and we're gonna kill Jake. Why? Because he's loving people and doing outrageous things for Jesus. So I can't imagine throwing a rock at somebody. But he can sit down now. It's freaking me out. Can you guys just think about it for a second? They stoned Stephen to death, and Saul was there, and he watched this. How can a man of God watch this and be and approve and be proud of that? Now, Ananias knows this full and well. Ananias is probably hiding. But guess what? Ananias goes. They didn't have WhatsApp at the time. He didn't WhatsApp call Barron to be like, "Hey, listen, my bro. God, I feel like God told me to go pray for this guy. Can you come with?" No, he had to go and be obedient to God's call. And he ends up going. It says here, "Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placed his hands on Saul and said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he was able to see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength." And it's such a beautiful story. And Paul ended up writing, I think it's like 3/4 of the New Testament. Was it more? But 3/4 of the Bible we read right now is that man, Paul, and he wrote it. Can you imagine being the person that, as you've spoken about for eternity, you're the person that prayed for the guy that God gave the revelation of the church to? Can you imagine how many thoughts are going through Ananias' head? Like, "Lord, I don't want to pray for him. Like, what about my kids? What if I get stoned to death and I don't ever see my kids again?" Like, these things were so real. Like, "Lord, I've got to watch the F1 today. I've got to watch the F1. Verstappen might win. Would have watched an arm wrestling match. The Springboks are playing. I've got to go watch that. Maybe I can go pray. And, oh no, I've got friends coming. I've got guests coming over. I think I'll pray for them tomorrow." And the New Testament's not written, and the church is not given the revelation. God would find a way, but Ananias his name would have never been mentioned ever. And I researched, that's where Ananias' story ends. But he's mentioned in the Bible as someone that is faithful to Jesus. And because of him, Paul is, first of all, healed of scales on his eyes. He's filled with the Holy Spirit and he's baptized. And I just was wondering how many Ananiases are here with us right now. How many of us are there sitting in this place where God has come into your life and he's spoken to you and he loves you and he has got a calling on your life to go and pray for people that their eyes may be opened. Praying for people that might just be the man that God wants to start another movement of churches with. That through that man's life, which by the way would be a part of your inheritance. So Paul's ministry, in a sense, is a part of Ananias' inheritance because he was the one that was a part of helping him, laying his hands on him, praying for him. What if a simple prayer like that, if God leads you, go pray for that woman on the beach who's got a limp while you're walking your dogs. She's got a limp. What if she's the woman that's going to be a mother to thousands of people and reaching all of them? So can you guys see this deep truth that God wants to bring to our attention here? And maybe you don't know who God is. Maybe you're a visitor with us and you don't know who he is. The truth is that if you want Jesus in your life, he's going to call you to change. If you don't want to change and you want a warmer seat on a Sunday and maybe even on a Wednesday night and tick the boxes, first of all, I want to say this is not the church for you. There's many other churches that would warm seats and preachers that will tickle your ears. And second of all, that's not the Jesus I know. The Jesus I met back in 2017 that delivered me from drugs, he's the Jesus that told me you have to change in your ways all the time. And it's such a beautiful thing that when I got saved, I started encountering things that I had to change in my life. You know what the greatest motivation for me was and still is to this day? And I told Ivan once, I said, if this is not enough motivation for me one day, I know that I've lost Jesus. But I see Jesus on the cross, and I weigh that up, and I see him on the cross when it's to overcome my fear and to preach in front of you guys. You know, I love all of you, but it's scary to preach God's word. I just see Jesus on the cross. I'm like, okay, Lord, even if I look like a fool for you and I speak gibberish and nothing happens, I'm going to be faithful and I'm going to do what you told me to do. And that is what he's calling us to do. And so I want to encourage you guys, if you're struggling to find the drive or the faith or the motivation, just look at Jesus. Look at the person of Jesus. And he's going to show you exactly how to live. And early on, that was what helped me. That is what helped me get through all the addictions, the insecurities, the ideas in my mind, so many things. And just nonstop, this is happening. And I want to share with you guys, just in the last week, and I'm going to finish soon, like after John preached about prayer, I don't know what happened in my heart, but something has changed. And afterwards, I knew, okay, there's this battle. I'm going to be very real with you guys, very real. I think one of the biggest battles I fight is sleep. It sounds so simple, right? I mean, for some people, it's nothing. But the disciples struggled with sleep, you know, so I'm okay. Maybe it's not actually that small. But I've always struggled with like waking up early and giving up my own sleep and my own comforts for Jesus. And I went surfing the one morning and I saw Grant Baker out on the water. And I greeted Grant and like expected him to greet me back. And he just didn't greet me. He just stared out at the horizon. And in Grant's way, he was like, God told me to tell you. And I haven't seen Grant for like 2 months now. I even messaged him before the surf and said, hey, we must meet up and catch up. And he was like, yeah, great. Anyways, he just stares at the horizon and he says, God told me to tell you that you must change your diet. So I was like, what do you mean, Lord? You know what? He's like, and Grant says, you can't consume the same diet and expect a different result. And he paddles off and goes, he's like, catches a wave. And I'm like, you know, that's such a Grant thing to do. You'll ask you a deep question and paddle away. But you know what? It rocked me. It rocked me because I'm thinking, maybe that's why my quiet times are so dead. Maybe that's why, because I wake up as early as I can and maybe snooze for 10 minutes or something, and I wake up and I go and I try my hardest to push into the Lord on the same couch every morning. And I know that there's truths and like, you know, you must try different things and you must worship. I know that, but the sense that God had to speak to me in a time of prayer and he had to show me, this is what I want you to do. And so the past 2 weeks has been a roller coaster for me. Like, you can ask my wife. Jen says I have like verbal diarrhea. And I just like talk to her because I verbally process with her shame. And it's funny, it should be the other way around, but I actually am the one that does all the verbal processing. And it's because God has taken me on this roller coaster, and it's been a thing of like God asking me to do things, and I'm doing them, and you expect this fireworks to happen, and maybe nothing happens, but that doesn't matter. What matters is that you're obedient in these things. And one of the things is that John preached, and he said Jesus got up really early before the sun came up, and he left the house, and he went to go and pray. And I was like, okay, Lord, I'm going to do this. This is a part of the new diet. You know, this is the new diet for me. So I'm going to do this. Like morning by morning, you wake up and it's like 5 degrees outside. So I tried changing couches. Didn't work. I tried like walking around a little. Tried praying in tongues louder. Tried everything I could. Even tried having coffee because I don't usually have coffee before I have quiet time. Tried maybe some caffeine or just like kick in or something. Didn't work. And yesterday, I got out the house, and I went and sat on the beach, and I had quiet time with God. And you know what? It was not fireworks. I was expecting to sit on the beach. It was offshore. The sun was rising. It was beautiful. I'm like, ooh, this is it. The new diet's coming. I'm going to be a changed man. And it just was so dead. I tried my best to pray. I prayed in tongues. I tried all the tricks. I even stood up. I walked around. I prayed for people in the church. And so I really tried my best to push into the Lord. And this set me back so much because I knew I was preaching. I had to prepare. And it just didn't feel like the Lord was with me. And I went home, verbally processed with my wife. She told me to stop. And just sitting there like, Lord, I even chatted with Jake on Thursday, I think, and like it was fire. We're talking about what I'm going to preach on. It was amazing. And it's just this roller coaster. Anyways, so I got home and I just said, okay, I've just got to go prepare now. I've just got to sit down and put this thing together, get the structures out, and just pray about what God wants to say. And I sat on the bed and I put some music in, and just like for 10 seconds, I just encountered God. For 10 seconds only, and then it was off. And it's almost like God was looking at me like, yes, bro, you really do need something to keep going, you know. I think he wanted to test how far I could go without just that little glory. And I just encountered God for 10 seconds. My face just cracked and I cried and I was like, took a deep breath and I was full. And I was like, okay, let's go. Everything changed after that moment. Everything. I could prepare. The words would come. Ethan and I went to go support a dude that we were reaching out to. He was playing a rugby game, so we went to go support him. And like, it just feels like everything changed after I encountered God. But it took being obedient to him, and it took just pushing in as hard as I can so that that's the only thing I wanted. And so it's almost like I had mud on my eyes this whole week. I had mud on my eyes, and I've been encountering God, but there's something new that he wants to call us into. And it feels like he washed that mud off of my eyes. And I'm like just waiting for the next time he's going to heal my eyes again. And he's going to bring sight. And so when Jesus healed these men, he didn't just heal them physically. He healed them spiritually. There's a sense that God wants to come and heal us spiritually so that we can see him. So we can encounter him. And I do feel like there's so many people here that encounter God over and over. But it just feels like have you ever felt it feels like it just works against you eventually? And I want to come back to that, to the title. What was the last thing God asked you to do? What was the last thing that God asked you to do? Go and do it. There's one thing you can remember. Go and do it. Has God asked you to pray for the sick? Has he asked you to preach in the streets? Has he asked you to make a cup of coffee for your wife in the morning? No matter what it is, can we be a people, a bride, that does what God has asked us to do? I just saw all the wives start smiling. That was very funny. Husbands, make your wives coffee. So the grace we experience today will mean nothing in the week if we don't back it up by faith. It means absolutely nothing. And it's quite a scary thing because the grace of God is complete. It is a full thing in itself. But it means absolutely nothing if we do not back it up with faith. And there's a sense that God is calling us as a church to change our diet. When Jesus reached out to a woman in the Bible, at the end of his encounter with this woman, His disciples say, "Hey, Jesus, you need to eat something." And he says, "I've got food that you don't know about. The food is to do the will of the Father." May that be our diet, guys. May that be our diet. As a church and as a bride, when God speaks to us, we do the will of the Father, and then we are filled, and our diet changes, and the results change, and everything changes. And I want to encourage us with that. If you're facing something very big that needs to change, or something that's very scary, like Ananias, you're being called to go and pray for someone that once killed people like your friends, just go do it. Go do it. Doesn't it feel like something, like God is doing something in our hearts? Just, I want you to say hallelujah if you... It doesn't sound like a lot of faith in you. There we go, yes. So many people feel the stirring in the spirit. And I felt the Lord say this. I felt the Lord say to me, "Bless you. May the Lord bless you, Stu." Felt the Lord say this. It's time for the church to get a little wild again. It's time for the church to do some outrageous things again. And there's many people that are sitting here that have got the most outrageous testimonies I've ever heard. And it's time for new ones to come about. And as we pray, and as we are praying, church, God's going to speak to you about things. And it might just be the most outrageous thing ever. Can you imagine being asked to go pray for a murderer that killed your friends and people that came before you? You're going to go pray for him in the house that he's sitting. Can you imagine? Maybe God's asking you to go pray for prisoners in prison. Maybe God is asking you to go and pray for people to be healed on Melbourne's beachfront. But it's time to start doing outrageous things for God. And when I have this picture of Jesus on the cross, I would rather look like a fool for him than look great for myself. That's what it comes down to. And so I think, I don't want to say much more, but I really feel like the Lord does want to come with his grace this morning. It doesn't mean he doesn't want to come with his grace. It's just this time is going to be different for some of us. This time it's going to be different. There's going to be a faith that backs it up in the whole week. And I just want to ask us to please close our eyes again. And I'd love to just slow down a little bit. A lot has been said, and just pray. Jesus, Lord, I know this word is for every single one of us here today. Lord, what a beautiful picture it is of us being obedient and worshiping you with that, Lord. And I want to pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and drop phrases and words and things into people's hearts right now by your power and by your voice, Lord. Things that you would like us as your bride to do. And I pray for that right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I feel like God also wants us to overcome some fears today. There's some fears that have developed in the people. I actually just sense there's, you know, like last week was beautiful watching all the men come forward, but there's ladies here that have still got a fear of man. And God is asking you to respond and let people pray for you to be delivered of a fear of man. Maybe there was an authority that hurt you one day, but there are ladies here that God wants to set free. And God is saying, will you worship me by responding? Thank you, Jesus. There are men here, and I just feel like there's a bit of a numbness in your ears, that you're struggling to hear the Lord, struggling to hear him. And this morning, he wants to take that numbness away. Because over a long time, maybe your heart has become hard from not responding to him in faith and moving forward. And God wants this morning, he wants to come and take those plugs out of your ears. He wants to come awaken your heart so that you can worship him in freedom. God has called us all to a time such as this. And Jesus, I pray right now that you would help people to just see that in their hearts, Lord, and come and respond to your living spirit, Lord. Thank you, God. So I want to encourage us to stand. And we are going to go into a time of worship. But I want to ask that we could all just stay in a place of, Lord, what do you want me to do? What are you asking of me? And if you're going to respond, I want to encourage you to come and respond. Because there's grace now, and he's going to set some people on fire this morning to do outrageous things for his kingdom. If you desire that, I want you guys to come forward. If you desire to be set ablaze for him, if you desire to be set free from him, Oh, thank you, Lord. So we're gonna worship God in a response. But I did feel like God say that the ultimate response is actually now in the week as a church. And as Francois mentioned last week, in the scriptures it says you're called to such a time as this. There's no coincidence that we are all here for this time. If you've recently given your life to the Lord, there's no coincidence in the timing whatsoever. It means that God wanted you here now so that you can reach the people around you. And so just with everyone's eyes closed, just before we move forward, we always want to give an opportunity for people that have never encountered Jesus before. I encountered him. I put my hand up in a service back in 2017 and I was changed forever because I encountered the living God. And step by step, he delivered me from things in my life to walk in freedom with him. And nobody's watching you. No one's watching you. But if you want to get to know this Jesus that we're talking about, this Jesus that has come to save the world, the light of the world, this Jesus that is real and he's a person, if you want to encounter him and give your life to him, maybe it's your first time, maybe you come to recommit your life to God, I want to encourage you, would you just be bold just to look at me? If that is you and you want to, you don't have to raise your hand, you can just make eye contact with me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If you can't see me, you can put your hand up. Yeah, oh, thank you, Jesus. Maybe there's a sense that you've drifted away from the things of God and you want God to come back into your life. You can also just raise your hand and just show me. Thank you, Lord. That's amazing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So for the rest of us, I want to encourage us to respond to God in worship. Respond in your hearts and allow the grace to come and speak to you. Allow him to come and speak to you about what you're going to do in the week. And if there's something that God has spoken to you about, what is the last thing God told you to do? Go and do it today. So Jesus, I just want to say thank you so much, Lord, for everybody that is responding, God. People that want to be set on fire for you, Lord. People that want to be set on fire by your Holy Spirit. And I pray right now, Holy Spirit, you would come by your power. Pray that you would come by your power upon everybody, Lord. That we may know that you are God and that you are all powerful, Lord. You are mighty to save, Jesus. And so I pray, Lord, that you would come with your grace, with your leadership, and come and help us to back up your grace with faith, Lord, and action. Pray that you would call us into a church, a generation that has no worries about what happens around us except for what you are doing, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus.